Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Triangulation is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Triangulation, episode 198, recorded Monday, April 27th, 2015. Luria Petrucci. Triangulation is brought to you by Personal Capital. With Personal Capital, you get award-winning financial tools, unbiased advice, and a transparent view of all your investments. Best of all, it's free. To sign up, go to personalcapital.com/triangulation. And by Trunk Club. Have the wardrobe you've always dreamed of, handpicked by your own personal stylist. Go to trunkclub.com/twit and join Trunk Club today for free. And by Braintree. If you're working on a mobile app and searching for simple payment solutions, check out Braintree. With one simple integration, you can offer your customers every way to pay, period. To learn more and for your first $50,000 in transactions fee-free, go to braintreepayments.com/triangulation. It's time for Triangulation, the show where we get together with some of the most interesting people in technology. And we get an hour to really sit down and talk. We call it Triangulation because it's them, it's me, but it's also you. For those watching live, use our chat room. You can post questions, comment, and I use that very much. It saves me a lot of research, frankly. So use the chat room at irc.twit.tv. If you want to watch live, we do it 11 a.m. Pacific on Mondays. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time and 1800 UTC. So live.twit.tv, irc.twit.tv. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm thrilled to welcome our guest who is a dear friend, a longtime friend, somebody in our business. You may know her as Callie Lewis. That's her stage name, but Luria Petrucci is here. Hi, Luria.
Thanks for having me. Hey.
Oh, I adore you so much. And I first became aware of you, gosh, it must have been 2005. You've been doing how long have you been doing the video show?
I started in 2005, right when Apple released their very first video iPod. And so that's when I got started. I think you and I met early 2006.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think
what you don't know is that I was secretly watching you in 2005.
Oh, who are you now? Paying attention, huh?
I am so thrilled to have you. And one of the reasons that we like to do triangulation with people, everybody knows Callie / Luria, but everybody doesn't necessarily know your whole story or know. For instance, we're looking at your, and this is going to be your new set, right, for Geek's Life. This is your new enterprise.
One of, yes. Okay. So I'm going to have a couple of different sets for the different shows that I'm doing on Geek's Life, which is more of a network style, kind of like what you do. It's funny when we first came up with the idea for Geek's Life, it was all about embracing our passions because I geek out about a lot of different things, not just technology, but also the outdoors and music and things like that. And so we wanted different shows to kind of focus on those different topics and different hosts so people could get different, you know, views from Geek's Life. And it was funny when we came up with it and structured it, and then we put it all together, and then I looked at it, I was like, this is TWiT.
No, it's not.
It's not TWiT.
It's Callie / Luria's special thing.
Yeah.
Because TWiT, well, let's start at the beginning. We're going to get to Geek's Life.
Okay, we'll get there.
And Geek Beat and Geek Brief. We're going to do it all, baby. First of all, do you always have Geek in the name of your things?
Apparently. because that's the most important thing to me is geeking out. And I've always said it, geek equals passion. And mm-hmm. The reason I do what I do is because I'm passionate about the topics at hand.
Yes.
So the geek is always fitting.
Yeah. So one of the things that kind of caught my eye when we were looking in the new set is this, the two drawings behind you. And what you told me is those are your dad's drawings. The one on the left is a woman bending over in her hair. It's a pencil and pen drawing. The one on the right is of a leg.
Right.
Your dad was an artist?
He was. So yeah, people in that one, if I get the pointing right, people see very different things. I'll just stop there. So yeah, my dad was an artist. He dabbled in all sorts of different mediums throughout his life. Painting, charcoal, pencil, pen sketch. He got really intricate in a lot of his drawings. Sculpture. He was also an architect, trained architect. So he was also, he did video production. I remember growing up when I was very young. I have just small memories of this, but he did commercials for like Arby's and Grandy's.
Oh, no kidding.
Things like that. So I was on those sets, and I just remember bits and pieces of being around those types of environments.
When you were little, and on those sets, did you think, "Oh gosh, I'd like to do this"?
No, never.
No.
No. I was so shy. That was never, ever anything that I wanted to do, and it wasn't until years after I started doing this that I realized I actually am doing the same thing my father did.
Yeah.
Because I always think of him as an artist, and he did so many great things in his life that I always lamented the fact that I didn't get any of his talent. Like,
I think you might have. Just in different ways,
now
right?
Now that I've grown up, I did get his talent in different ways, yes. And he won an Emmy for a PBS documentary that he did, and you know, all these different things. And now that I look back on it as a whole, I realize I'm very much my daddy's daughter.
Oh, isn't that kind of neat? As you get older, you start to see the influences that both sides had. Tell us about your mom.
It really is. My mom was super, super hard worker. As I grew up, we grew up very, very poor. She worked two jobs as long as I can remember. She was a nurse, an RN. And she was always working, to make sure we had food on the table.
She was a single mom. Your dad was out of the picture, or?
They divorced when I was very young. I must have been a few months old when they divorced.
Did you know your dad as a kid? I guess you did. You went on set with him.
Yeah, I only really saw him during the summers and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And so the attachment I felt towards him was huge, because I always wanted to be around him, right? Because I didn't grow up with him.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm very much kind of quote unquote daddy's girl. So, I got to spend summers with him, and during the summers we took trips up to Michigan, where my Italian family lives. And those were the happiest times of my life, for sure, because of my childhood. Because they had, this awesome cottage on the lake, and I just spent my childhood summers in on the beach and in the lake, and gathering, you know, the frosted glass that you find on the beach, and you know, seashells and all of that stuff. But back home during my regular life, wasn't the greatest childhood at all for that part of it, because my mom had remarried so my stepfather, and he had a daughter and a son, and they were very they weren't great people.
Oh no, that's terrible. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Oh, you know, we all go through things, right? My sister and my stepfather were very controlling, kind of almost more. My stepsister was on the violent side of things.
Oh, my God.
So
you were Cinderella, basically. She was kicking you into the...
I wouldn't go that far, but she, you know, we had some bad moments.
Oh, that's
for sure.
Terrible. I'm sorry to hear that. We've talked about your nonna, your Italian grandma, there in Michigan, and making pasta with her.
Yeah, she was full Italian. She came
cook.
Over from Italy, from Cassino, which is by Rome.
Yeah.
And she taught me how to cook.
Did you get to cook anymore?
You know, I do. Actually, I'm part of Geek's Life. I'm going to be doing my homemade pasta that I learned from her, homemade bread. She taught me a lot, ravioli,
we're going to be watching that sauce. One for sure.
Yeah.
Tell me about the spaghetti sauce. This is how, especially a Romano spaghetti sauce. Tell me about making your spaghetti sauce.
So the spaghetti sauce is actually developed a little bit from her, but it has turkey and I usually put sausage in there as well. Lots of wine, of course, because I'm Italian. Lots of red sauce and lots of herbs. So it cooks all day long, as does everything Italian, right?
Sure. That's because the mama had a lot of time on her hands to cook.
Right. Yeah. So, no, speaking of mama, I didn't really complete.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
No. We just kind of went on a tangent as conversations do. But she was a very, very hard worker, and she taught me a lot through life. And I think I got my work ethic from her for sure. But her goal was always to make sure that the food was on the table. And, you know, she, as I look back, she definitely did a lot for me. She didn't always make the best decisions in her life with men specifically, which I actually wound up making some of the same mistakes.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting. But you learn from your parent. That's a real role model, and you do often do the same things they did, don't you?
Even though you knew there were
mistakes when they did, you got to do them again.
I know. How funny how life is,
right? Life is funny.
But, yeah, but, you know, I love her and you know,
she's still around?
She is. She's out in Atlanta. She actually has a farm I recently visited. She has all sorts of goats and chickens all sorts of animals out there. They make a living off the farm.
That's great. Did you grow up in Texas?
I did.
Yeah,
I was born in Indiana, Evansville, Indiana, and when I was like 3 months old, they moved away from Indiana to Texas, a suburb called Sachse. That's where
Sachse,
I started
Texas.
Growing up.
Ladies Sachse, and gentlemen, Texas. From Sachse, Texas, it's Loria Petrucci, S-A-X-Y?
No, it's S-A-S-C-H, I believe. I really grew up in Mesquite, Texas.
Oh, okay.
That
sounds more Texan.
Because they moved from Sachse to,
Mesquite sounds much more Western than Sachse. Wow. So, so you grew up, it was kind of a challenging childhood, stepdad and stepsister, not so great, mom working really, really hard. Was he in Michigan or was he still in Indiana or?
He actually was in Atlanta at that
Atlanta,
point.
Okay.
Yeah, he loved Atlanta,
far
and that's where
away,
we married him.
Far away, alas.
He was part of the discovery of underground Atlanta, actually. And
what's
so
underground Atlanta? What's that?
It's a whole city. Basically, they found a city buried underneath the city from way back when. And to be honest, I wouldn't be a good tour guide for underground Atlanta because I don't know all that much about it. But basically, they found all these tunnels and streets and cobbled
From
streets.
Civil
and
War
all this
era
stuff.
Or even older
I believe
than that.
So.
Oh, interesting.
I believe so.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So growing up, what were your interests? What did you like besides cooking?
Well, I didn't get to cook at home. I really only got to dabble in that up in Michigan, of course. But I was always into animals. I was a very much a loner kid.
Were a geek maybe as a kid too, huh?
Oh God, yes.
Yeah.
No, I was always by myself. My favorite place was the library. So any free time that I had, I was in the library reading. I didn't have friends until I got older.
Really?
People always called me a snob, actually. I found
me
out
too.
Later.
They thought I was being snobby. I was just shy.
Yeah, I just couldn't. I couldn't figure out how to talk to people.
Yeah.
It scared me to death.
Yeah, me too. So they thought I was being aloof, but I was just merely shy. I didn't know what to do. So so we were both snobs as kids, and I spent a lot of time in the library. What did you like to read? Science fiction, fantasy. I see you as I see you as reading a lot of fantasy for some reason.
It was kind of fantasy stuff. Also, at that time, like Boxcar.
I love the Boxcar Children.
That? Yeah,
I love that book.
Boxcar Kids or something. Yeah. Boxcar Children or whatever that was called.
Yeah, that was a great series. I loved that.
Yeah. And any kind of mystery slash Sherlock Holmes kind of books were, I mean, it was my getaway, right?
Sure.
It was my fantasy land away from the bad childhood I had.
Like Agatha Christie mysteries, or what kind of mysteries did you like?
Agatha Christie, I liked, I don't even remember all the names of them. I just kind of remember the stories.
Encyclopedia Brown when you were little, I bet.
Yes. That's the one. I've been trying to remember that name for like 2 months.
Encyclopedia Brown.
Yes.
They would give you the whole story, and then you would have to solve it from the clues.
Yeah.
And then
yes,
Encyclopedia Brown would say,
"Oh,
yeah, of course you did."
And of course, I loved school. I was a goody two shoes at
school. Yeah.
Always getting A's, and I was always trying to do more than I needed to. And one of those kids.
Yeah. What was your favorite subject? What were you good at?
Then I was good at everything but math. I liked history, though I couldn't always get the exact dates right. I didn't learn to love math until later on in high school when I was homeschooling and I had a community college tutor who taught me to love math because all my school teachers, they didn't like their jobs, so they weren't making math interesting. So
right.
I didn't learn to love that until later. But I liked science and history primarily.
We're talking with Luria Petrucci. You might know her as Callie Lewis. Her new enterprise, geekslife.com. We'll get around to that in a little bit, but we also want to talk about Geek Beat. A Geek Brief, all the geek stuff, and we're gonna get there. I'm really, you know, it's funny. I've known you for, I guess, almost 10 years.
10 years,
yeah,
almost, yeah.
And we've talked a little bit about. I remember talking about cooking with your grandma, but I'm learning a lot about you. I want to hear about more, but in just a bit, we're gonna take a break. Personal Capital is our sponsor for this segment of Triangulation. It's kind of appropriate. I first learned about Personal Capital when we interviewed its founder. Bill Harris, some time ago. We've had Bill back since then. He's a really interesting guy. Co-founded PayPal with Elon Musk. He then was a chairman and CEO of Intuit, CEO, I guess, of Intuit for a while, as well as CEO of PayPal. Knows a lot about finance and decided that one of the big things he saw with people was they weren't really planning properly for their future. Either they had an advisor who was on commission, and so pointing them in the wrong direction. You'll trade a lot because the more you trade, the more I make, that kind of thing. Or they tried to do it in themselves, and that's very difficult, even in this digital age, because every account you have is on a different website with a different password. So he created Personal Capital. It does three things. First and foremost, it tells you what's going on with your money. If you go right now to personalcapital.com/triangulation, you can set up your free account and see immediately what's going on with your retirement, what's going on with your investments, your savings accounts, how you're maybe losing money, losing years with costs, hidden costs through your broker or your 401ks or your mutual funds. Personal Capital is already helping more than 720,000 investors just like you identify and eliminate high fees, manage their net worth. It helps you budget without budgeting because you know exactly where your money's going. I love it. It's time to trade up. Your broker could literally be taking money from your pocket and shortening your retirement with hidden fees, no transparency. They win, you lose, not with Personal Capital. Sign up free at personalcapital.com/triangulation. It's, you know what? It's a fitness tracker for your finance. I love that idea. Financial fitness tracker. If you use Android, they've got an Android Wear app they announced, and I've been using it, the Apple Watch app. So if you're using Personal Capital on desktop, on mobile, on tablet, and on your watch, you'll always know what's going on. Personal Capital advisors are SEC-registered financial advisors. They're not broker-dealers. They're not brokers. They're not incentivized to get you trading, to sell you high-fee products. They are giving you independent advice on your behalf. So you don't have to use them. But I got to tell you, if you track accounts worth more than $100,000 on the Personal Capital Dashboard, you do qualify for a free 30-minute review with your advisor. You can discuss financial goals, risk tolerance, time horizon, your plan for your future. That's free. And all you have to do, and believe me, it's easier than you think, is track $100,000 or more on the Personal Capital Dashboard. So put your accounts in. For free, you get the Personal Capital Dashboard. If you've got enough dollars in your savings and your investments, they'll give you the free 30-minute consultation. And by the way, you can also use them as a broker, but you don't have to. So it's absolutely free. It's a freemium play, just like we talked about this with Bill. It's brilliant. They can give you all these services for free, and those who want can use the paid services, and that pays for the whole thing. So I think you're going to really like this. I've been using it for ever since I met Bill, which is now almost 3 years. PersonalCapital.com/triangulation. And don't forget to take advantage of that free 30-minute portfolio consultation. No obligation. It really is useful. PersonalCapital.com/triangulation. So glad Bill did that. We're talking to Luria Petrucci, and she's in her new studio, the beginnings of her new studio as part of Geek's Life, where she's going to talk about all sorts of geeky things, including stand-up paddleboarding.
Yes, I can't wait to get out on the lake. It's been pouring down rain here. We've had tornadoes and all sorts of stuff. So
tornado watches. Show me your biceps. You are so buff. You blow me away.
I've got a long sleeve shirt on.
It's okay. That was an inappropriate thing. But I got to say, you're incredible. You and Johnny P did all the weightlifting stuff. And my
God. I've always loved fitness. I've always loved it just kind of energizes me
You need to do it, don't you?
Healthy.
Yeah.
I have to admit right now, I haven't touched a gym in months because of all the changes going on here.
Busy.
So,
okay.
I've been a little busy. So I'm looking forward to the summer and getting back in into my water sports. I love kayaking and stand-up paddle boarding. And I love those things because they can either be just a relaxing time out on the lake, or it can be a really hard workout. I do yoga out on a paddleboard as well.
I've seen people do that. That's nuts.
It's fun.
There are people do that in the Petaluma River. They're doing the Warrior II on a paddleboard. And I don't know how they balance. It's just crazy. You have to move slowly and deliberately, don't you?
Well, you do. But the thing most people don't realize about those paddle boards is they are meant to be stable. They are not like a surfboard. They are much wider. And so they're built for stability, not for surfing waves. You don't really fall.
You sporty types always say things like that. Oh, it's so easy. Oh, you won't fall off. And then I get out there and I look like a manatee and the thing is going woo, woo, woo.
Wait, did you try it?
Not yet.
Uh-huh.
I've been burned before. All right. Uh-huh. You know what? Maybe I should come. You're still in Dallas, right?
Yes.
Where do you paddleboard? Is there a river or something? A lake?
Oh, we have lots of rivers and lakes.
Oh, okay.
They're all man-made, but right. At least we can enjoy the water.
All right. I'll make you a deal. I'll come down and do some paddleboard yoga with you if you'll come up and ride some Segways around with us.
Agreed. you all heard it in the chat room, right?
So you were homeschooled in high school?
Just the last 2 years.
Why was that? Did your mom feel like you were getting bad influences in high school?
No, I requested it, actually.
You didn't want to be there.
Like I said, I loved school, and I got to a point in high school where I just wasn't learning anything, and I wasn't challenged.
Yeah. You're too smart.
Not too smart. It's just that... the school system as it stands is just so flawed in so many ways.
Yeah.
We kick kids out for having energy when that's what kids are all about. And we give them medicine to calm them and to change their habits. And it's just, that environment is just flawed for so many people. Somebody who's just high energy and kind of their brain is always going to people who have trouble learning.
Do you think you're a little ADD?
No. I mean, I'm constantly moving from things to things. So it depends on how you define ADD.
You have a lot of energy, but you're not easily distractible. Are you easily distractible?
No, I'm not easily distractible. Yeah. I mean, I will start working on a bunch of different things at the same time. But once I get going on something, I make it happen. So I don't really think I have that label, but I wasn't challenged. And so I wanted more from it. And so I figured I've always been kind of a self-paced learner. And I certainly don't have any problem sitting down and doing it. So I asked my mom if I could do that. And she set me up. And, you know, she was still working two jobs at that time. And so I primarily did that by myself. And when I needed help, she would either help me or she would find somebody like a community college who could hire a tutor for that would help out.
It wasn't exactly homeschooling. It was more independent study. You were teaching yourself.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, we had a structure, a private school structure, but I didn't go do that with other kids. So,
College bound? Did you want to go to college, or did you know? What did you think you were going to do?
Marine biology.
Oh, neat! Awesome.
Yeah, I loved the marine life, and like I said, I loved science. And I thought I would probably work with dolphins sometime, but I didn't. I did want to go to school, and I applied, and I was accepted, and I was going that direction. I wound up doing some modeling.
You are quite lovely. Did somebody come along and say you should be a model?
No. Well, no. My ex-husband at the time.
Oh, it was Neil. We'll call him he who shall not be named. How about that? We don't want to, like Beetlejuice. If I say it three times, he's going to appear or anything.
Probably not.
So, all right. So when did you meet this fellow?
Oh gosh, I met him when I was very young. Actually, 12. So
what? Did you fall in love with him at the age of 12?
No.
How old was he when you were 12?
He was 10 years older than me.
Holy camoly! All right, I don't know if we want to go down this particular rabbit hole.
We probably don't want to go down that path.
But I think that that people might be able to kind of build a picture in their mind of this. It sounds like a highly inappropriate relationship.
It was.
And you were neglected at home. You had an uncomfortable home life. This is not at all unusual.
I was at 15 when we started dating. There was an older man courting me, and
Was he kind of a Svengali? Did he say, okay, I want you to... I remember him saying he taught you how to put on makeup and dress yourself up. He was kind of a Svengali type.
I guess so.
All right. We'll drop it at that. Because I don't want to make you uncomfortable.
Yeah, we don't want to go too darn far down that path.
But you and Neil eventually got married, and it was with him that you started your first video production.
Yes, it was. So we wound up hearing about podcasting in 2005 from Adam Curry on NPR, and we're very attracted to the idea of it.
Now, at the time, mm-hmm. you were running a rental facility.
Correct. So
you had no, like, you weren't doing any production or video or anything like that.
No,
gosh, you just thought this would be fun.
More so than anything else, it was a way to play with this newfound technology.
Right. So you like technology even
podcasting.
Then. You like,
I always did. Yeah. When I was 8, I think it was, my mom had a word processor. And that's when my love of technology started, was when I saw her just typing away on it. I was like, oh my God, that's awesome.
Oh, you are a geek.
I made her learn, teach me how to type. And I spent as much time on that thing. And it wasn't even a real computer as I possibly could, just doing little designs and typing things out and whatever I could. So, it was a fascination with this podcasting thing and played around with audio a bit. And then Apple announced their video iPod in October of 2005. And it was obvious at that time that video was where it was going to go. For Christmas, we expected that everybody would be getting iPods for Christmas, because Apple was a big deal even back then, you know? And, so we just decided to do video. And like I said, I had never been on camera or I wasn't in video production. I didn't go to school for any of this. It was more out of necessity that I wound up on camera for just the testing purposes.
That's interesting. So did you plan at some point to get somebody else to do the camera work or?
No, I didn't expect it to be what it
was. You were just playing with it. You were just playing around.
I was just playing with it.
Yeah.
As we put it out there and we gained an audience very quickly, it became obvious at that point that this was something to latch onto, and to try and turn into a business.
Interesting.
It was at that point. And when I latch onto something, I latch on, I go full force. So, at that point when it became obvious that this was something, and that was pretty quickly, it all happened very quickly.
What was the first show?
I went to it. It was Geek Brief.
It was Geek Brief.
Yes. So,
what was it? Cause the name Callie Lewis, wasn't there like some, you were a spy.
Yeah. So there was this, backstory to Geek Brief. It was that Callie Lewis was the head of the Geek Intelligence Agency, the GIA. And we did some funny little goofy, I wouldn't say funny as in ha ha, but just goofy little, things where, you know, had a watch and we superimposed me talking
here,
to
watch.
Viewers.
The internet, nothing ever dies.
Oh, no.
For today.
Geek Brief.
Guy from Star Trek Generations.
Number one.
Well, take a look at this.
And you can see how my eyes are moving up and down.
Because you're reading?
I'm reading off the prompter, but we didn't have a real prompter. I had a monitor down below the camera, so I didn't even know how to like properly do anything when it comes to being on camera.
But it was an instant hit, wasn't it?
It was very popular very quickly, only because there was nobody else doing it.
Yeah.
So lucky on the timing aspect.
Yeah. No.
And you know.
No, you're great. It comes through immediately. And this is fun. This is interesting.
Yeah, there's a toilet. I forget what the toilet is.
It's talking to you.
God, it's so embarrassing when people.
No, I'm sorry. All right, I'm gonna stop it.
No, it's okay. Everybody does it.
You know what? You're great, but you had an instant. You had an instant relationship with the camera and an affinity for it. You look great, of course, but I think there's also something coming through in your personality that's instantly appealing. And I'm not surprised this was a success. So,
no, I appreciate it.
And this was before Rocket Boom or anything. I mean, you were really doing one of the first people ever to do this.
Right. I think Rocket Boom may have, I don't remember the exact time.
Might have been
time.
Right about the same time.
Right about the same time, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The part of the
excitement back then was the experimentation, because it was this brand new thing and we could do so much. I mean, you have been in the media for a longer time, and so you have like you have very traditional ways of doing things, right? But when podcasting came along, the world opened up. And of course you have opened up with it, but, I don't think you do everything exactly like you were trained to do.
No.
But I wasn't trained.
This is very sophisticated though. You've got a green screen, right?
Mm-hmm. It was a green, actually our first green screen was, we went to Hobby Lobby and picked up a, 4 pieces of green, bright green, poster board. And that was our green screen.
Wow. And did you teach yourself how to do all of this stuff, edit it and shoot it and all that?
Yeah. We did, I think we started out with Video Cue and Wirecast, upgraded to Wirecast. We had bought Final Cut at some point, but we were too intimidated to learn it for about a year. And it was just so overwhelming. And so we needed outside kind of help to start that process, because when you're trying to do daily production, it's very difficult to dive into something new as big as Final Cut. At least it felt big at the time.
Oh God, overwhelming. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it took us a long time to make the move into Final Cut. So we were using Video Cue and Wirecast and just hacking it together, which was the fun of it. And I mean, we did an old GoDaddy commercial where we had myself talking like to each other. And that was so much fun to just experiment with that technology of green screen and kind of splicing the video and superimposing different things behind us so that I could talk to myself and have different personalities. It was just crazy fun. Learning what could be done. And I think that was one of the reasons for the held success throughout Geek Brief, was because it was about the community. It was about learning together. It was pushing the limits of what everybody was doing in the industry at that time.
Even then, and I'm looking at the credits for Geek. That was Geek Brief number one. You used your real name, produced by Luria Petrucci, starring Luria Petrucci as Callie Lewis. So even then, Callie Lewis was a persona, and yet as you continued doing it, more and more people thought of you as Callie Lewis, and Luria Petrucci disappeared.
Yeah, it did kind of disappear, and that wound up. Callie was a character, but not. I mean, it was me. So it's really hard to explain, but it was more over the years I realized what I was doing with Callie was creating this personality that was out there. It allowed me to be on camera more comfortably, and it allowed me to be outgoing when I wasn't outgoing, because you put me in a room in a party and I'm in the corner watching everybody. I don't have that talent, right? I mean, obviously I do because I do it now, but it required a character, if you will, to kind of put myself into. But over the years, it actually wound up kind of consuming Luria. I lost who I was, and I pushed back who Luria was and stopped letting all of me out. So while it was me, there were differences. And so that's one of the reasons that I eventually, as I grew to be comfortable with who I am over the last year, and started Geeks Life and, went through, a lot of changes. It was important to me to embrace me fully. And that's one of the things that we are trying to do with Geeks Life is embrace each other for who we are, because we're all geeks. We all are flawed, you know, in some way or another. We all are, and I'm not saying geeks are flawed. I'm just saying as people, we all are flawed, and we all have different things that we love and different things that we're not so good at. And so I want Geeks Life to be a community where we all are accepted for who we are and can embrace that and geek out together and share together. You know what I mean? And so with that transition, it was pretty important for me to embrace who I am fully, because you can't ask other people to do that when you're not. And so I used Luria Petrucci in the initial Geeks Life video. It was more of a behind the scenes kind of one-on-one talk with the community about what I was doing. And, from then on, I actually expected it to take about 5 years to make the transition. But I just wanted to start putting it out there a little bit more. And I figured over time, I'll maybe be able to move over to Luria fully. But from that one video, the audience blew up in support.
Yep.
And it was, I wasn't even allowed to use Kali anymore. Like,
nope.
Everybody was like, great, I love it. I'm so, so glad that you're using your real name. I can't wait to see what you do, you know, that kind of stuff. And that was pretty cool. It was very emotional, actually, for me. I broke out into tears one night after so much support for using my real name and being who I am.
I think one of the things, and people who are watching this might start to realize, at first, those of us who saw Geek Beat and Geek Brief and watched Kali from afar, saw a strong, powerful, confident, intelligent, talented person. But I don't think we knew we were seeing a character. And I think as people have gotten to know you, as we get to know you in this interview, as people have watched that video, beautiful video that you made talking about the new show, I think people realize that this is actually an incredible story here of a person who was, you know, kind of disempowered and abused in so many ways, and who found her voice and became herself. And it's this amazing blossoming. And so it's so exciting to watch you do this. I'm curious how this all happened, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're talking with Luria Petrucci. Her new effort is online, geekslife.com. Go there, support her, watch it. You have some paid content as well as some free content. I think that's interesting. I want to ask you about that, too.
Okay.
All right. We're going to take a little break right now and talk a little bit about my wardrobe.
Oh. It's a beautiful wardrobe, Leo.
Well, you know, there's a story behind it. So men, I don't want to make generalizations. Some men like to shop. All men like to shop for some things. Many men like me don't like to shop for clothes, right? I'll shop for tools. I'll shop for gadgets. If it's shopping for clothes, I'm in and out in seconds. I don't want to do it. I hate it. And frankly, most of us guys, that's why we wear jeans and T-shirts and sneakers. But there comes a time in everyone's life when you need to start looking a little bit sharper. And you know what? It makes you feel good. And I was so glad when we found Trunk Club. So here's the idea. Trunk Club gives you something I always needed, a personal shopper who will talk to you, spend time with you, get to know you and your style, what you're looking for, what you want your new style to be. My personal shopper is named Robin. She's so great. It started with a call. We took about half an hour, and I just kind of filled her in. I said, I'm preppy. I'm fat. You know, it was honest with her. and she said, all right, and what do you want to look? I said, well, I like to sharpen up a little bit, maybe nicer shoes. I want to maybe start wearing some nice sweaters and jackets. And so then she put together a page. By the way, at this point, I've paid nothing. In fact, this is a free service. You're going to love this. She made a website that was kind of like Hot or Not for clothes. Do you like that? Yes, no. Yes, no. Yes, no. Then she sends you your trunk, your first trunk. This is awesome. You have still paid nothing. Nada. Zip. Zilch. You have 10 days to go through the stuff in your trunk and see if you like it. And there's all sorts of great things that she picked out for me. This isn't really, at this point, I'm no longer shopping. I'm doing a show and tell. I'm trying stuff on and I'm having some fun. Beautiful shirts. I said, I need sweaters. She sent me sweaters. I said, oh, look at this cable knit. Oh, this is gorgeous. These are from great brand names. This is, let's see, from, I don't know brand names from nothing, but I'm told Ledbury. I got neckties, beautiful neckties. Look at that. I might put that on today. Still, it's costing you nothing. You now have 10 days to look at your box, sit down, take a look, see what you like, and then you put everything you don't want back in the box, send it back to them. Then and only then do you pay a penny, and only for the stuff you keep. So basically, everything in this is free except the clothes you like. You keep those, and you move on. Now, what's nice is there's no minimum purchase, so you can send it all back and pay nothing. There's no subscription. It's not like you're going to get a box every month. No. You only get a box when you call Robin or your stylist and say, all right, ready for another one. What's great is when I sent my first box back, Robin said, okay, I get it. And she refines the picks for the next time. and the next time, and better and better and better. Look, you're busy. Maybe you hate shopping. Guys, make it easy. Rely on your own personal stylist from Trunk Club to do the work. Great clothes, handpicked for the look you want. Your style, your fit matches your lifestyle, your schedule, and it costs you nothing. You only pay for what you keep. You can't beat this. At least get that first trunk right now by going to trunkclub.com/twit. Trunkclub.com/twit. I got some great shoes, neckties, pants. They have tailors that go around all over. They're coming to Dallas. They come to San Francisco. And you can go in and you get measured, and then you can get custom-made clothes, too, from Trunk Club. So this is a neat thing. Trunkclub.com/twit. Give it a try today.
That is freaking awesome.
Wouldn't you like something like that?
Yeah, I do. I love that.
Well, maybe someday they'll do it for women. I don't know. But right now, it's just for the guys. Because they know.
I hate shopping.
Well, you know, geeks hate shopping.
Yes.
It's not just guys. It's geeks. It's everything we don't want to do. Socialize.
It's way too much time.
Take time. Try stuff on. I'll shop. You bring me to a hardware store, I'll shop for days. You take me to the Apple store, try and get me out of there. But clothes, forget it. So you're Android user.
Yes.
But are you gonna you got an Apple Watch somehow, weirdly?
I was gonna try and figure out how to pair them together, but that's not working out so well.
No.
So yeah, I love Android. I also love iOS for what it is. Like for me, I'm a Google user and I like customization. And so Android personally is a little better for me. But iOS is great for obviously a lot of people out there.
Are you wearing the watch? Are you wearing the Apple Watch right now?
No, actually, maybe somebody
does.
Could,
Dave have it?
Bring it. David has it. He. So
my watch is telling me to stand up. If you don't mind, I have to stand up now.
Okay, stand up.
It said I have to stand up. Oh, you got the sport. And yours is saying the same thing, it looks like. All right, everybody, do jumping jacks. One, two, stand up.
So, yes. Did your watch really tell you to do that?
You don't believe me? I don't know if they have the over-the-shoulder shot, but it does. It says time to stand. Stand up and move a little for 1 minute. Where's that shot? For 1 minute, it says. And then,
minute's a long time to do jumping jacks.
Well, it says move a little. I might have overstated the whole thing.
Overdone it. There.
Look at that. My heart rate went to 96.
Nice.
See, now I can, I'm just saying, I don't want to send my heartbeat to Dave, but I'd send it to you. So If you wore your watch, I'd send you a little drawing once in a while on a butterfly or something.
I'm going to be curious. So I should get my iPhone in the next few days.
What's taking so long? Just go down to the store. Get it.
They didn't have the availability that I needed and all that stuff. And there were account issues. And so I have to wait through that. But I literally thought I had 2 months when I ordered it to... Yeah, my Apple. I figured it might come a little early, but not.
You're
the
so lucky.
Top of the batch.
You're so lucky. Most people are still waiting.
Yeah, people are jealous. I actually had to do the unboxing in my leasing office's office, at the front counter, because they were just drooling over it. They were like, "Can we see it? Can we see it?"
They wouldn't let you go back to your apartment.
No,
you have to stay here and open it.
Yeah, it was funny. So.
So when you started Geek Brief, at some point you the guy who inspired this that you'd heard on NPR, Adam Curry, and you made a deal. You started to go to work for Adam.
Yeah. So Adam actually was on NPR talking about specifically Dawn and Drew, who were my early inspirations.
Yeah.
Dawn and Drew. They're still doing it too.
I know.
And they're amazing.
I looked them up the other day. I was stunned.
Did you?
They're still doing it.
They are still doing it. And they were just hilarious and a huge inspiration to us doing it.
They live in a farmhouse somewhere
in
Wisconsin. And it was just them sitting. In fact, I remember they they held up their microphone with a coat hanger on a table. It was very homespun.
Very, very homespun. And Dawn is hilarious, and Drew is a geek and a tech geek, and they just talked about their lives, really.
So great.
And
it was the ultimate. And they're, by the way, they're now at episode 1058.
Wow.
Can you believe
that's
that?
That's awesome.
So,
and they're on Patreon. So.
And that's what's changed. One of the things that's really changed since 2005 is that it's very possible for you to go to your fans and say, hey, can you support us?
Correct.
And I think that's changed everything. Yeah.
But we should talk more about that in a bit.
In a bit. Let's talk about Adam. So you went to, what was the name of his company? Was it Mevio then, or was it something else?
At the time, it was called Podshow.
Podshow, that's right.
They later rebranded into Mevio.
Right.
So Podshow at the time was the only company making it possible for people to do what they loved, to do podcasting full time. And that it really, at the time I started, it was only an idea. It was a concept that they were toying with. And we got so popular so fast, the server like shut down. They refused because we were providing too much media at the time. Hosting was more complicated than it is now.
Were you doing a show every week? Or every day? You were doing a lot of them.
I don't remember, actually. I think it was just random whenever we could.
Right.
Because we had a day job. So it was at least once a week, probably, and maybe a few more. But we got shut down. And so we went to Adam and said, hey, you know, we hear that you're doing this cool thing or about to, and we'd like to be a part of it. And so they kind of helped us get up and running, took the hosting on themselves, and started getting us sponsorships like GoDaddy at the time and more later. And so we were doing it full time within 5 months.
Wow.
We signed a contract with them to do it for 4 years.
Wow. So, yeah, you were, I think, the big hit on Podshow. I don't think anybody was bigger.
You know, they had,
maybe Dawn and Drew.
I think Dawn and Drew were with them before. Obviously, were with them before us.
Right.
So they were
right.
doing it. I don't remember the exact timelines on every detail, but yeah, they must have already been doing it because I think they were doing that.
So in 5 months, you went full. I have, by the way, even to this day, not a full-time podcaster. I still have a day job.
Right.
But in 5 months, you were able to quit your day job, and you and Neil had a business.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It was pretty incredible. Again, early adopters, right?
No, you know what? You don't give yourself enough credit. You are so charming on screen. People just fall in love with you. And I think that really the credit and your continued success goes to you. So how long did you do Geek Brief?
That was for 4 years. And oddly enough, at the same time the contract came due, I was trying to renegotiate that. And they were going through some changes. They had already gone to Mevio at that time. And I think they were heading in a different direction. And the renegotiations weren't going as well as I'd hoped. And at the same time, I was going through a divorce. So... it was good probably that it wound up being the same timeline.
This is not the first time you've reinvented your life.
No.
You threw everything out the window and said, get rid of that guy. I don't need him anymore.
Well, that came at when I felt my life was in jeopardy. And there were some bad things happening at that time. And that's when I decided to just cut ties there. But at the same time, you know, we had Geek Brief together and we couldn't figure out how to work together being divorced. And so that just wasn't all going to plan.
Taking aim at you, but okay, that's another. I don't want to bring up unhappy unpleasantness. Suffice to say,
and
you need to do
something
new.
Yeah, we signed a contract with Mevio that basically was 50-50 ownership, but there was a clause in there that we didn't fully understand and that so, gave them
more control. Kind of like a record company deal, kind of.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I felt, you know, like that was a bad contract at the time and everything. And you could look at it multiple ways, right? I'll never regret signing it. That's for sure. Because
no, it empowered you to do all this.
It gave us what we have, right? And so, Adam and I have actually recently talked, and he's doing great and I'm doing great. And you know, there are certainly no hard feelings between us. Good. And I think what he's doing is amazing these days. And so, you know, there are forks in life, right? We all go through bad crap and we all go through tough times. And the point that the life is about what you do with that, right? And how you come out on the other end. And so then at that point, launched Geek Beat. See, I can't even keep them straight.
Was there somebody or something that just happened that it clicked for you and you said, okay, time to turn the page? Or was it a gradual thing over a period of time?
You mean with my marriage?
With your marriage, with Geek Brief, the whole thing.
For the personal side of it, it was an opening of my eyes to the world. I was very much in
you were
a naive.
You were very innocent, I remember.
Yes.
No, because we worked together. It was 2006 when you came up to Canada, because Amber was taking a couple of weeks off. And they said, well, what are we going to do? And I said, well, I've been watching this woman in Texas on this Geek Brief show. She's really talented. Why don't we give her a try? And we called you, and you came up to Canada. You did call for help with me for about 2 weeks.
It was for three months. I came up there like because we shot a week
at a
each time. So
for three months you were the host of that show with me, and you're so good.
And that was that was such a change in my life. I learned so much from you. I had watched, you know, tech TV, and I grew up kind of seeing you, and so that was a big.
Can we not say grew up? That makes me sound so old.
I mean,
no, I'm teasing you. It's okay. It's okay. I'm just teasing. I meet people now. I meet adults, people in their 30s who say, "Yeah, I watched you when I was a kid," and I go, "Yeah, I guess I've been doing this a while." It's okay. I was just teasing.
It's okay. Now we have people that are younger than me, because for a long time I was the youngest, in everything that I did, and now that's changing. So it's just life, isn't it?
But I do remember you were very innocent, very sweet, very innocent. And Neil was really running the show.
I did the business side of things and he did the editing and we kind of did the creative together.
So it was a good partnership for a while, but times change.
So times change. And as I had more exposure to the outside world, I realized that that life wasn't as I understood it to be. I was in a very controlling relationship, and it was an opening up of my eyes to see that relationships weren't like, I just started seeing other people for how they interacted with each other. Yeah. And Dave Curley, who was working with us at the time, and Kat, his wife, we had dinner with them a couple of times, and I started noticing very, very different things, like how they interacted was very different than how we interacted.
Right.
It was things like that, a progression that made the change.
I'm thrilled. And then,
yeah.
Yeah. So now you're kind of out there. I remember there was a brief period where it was, you didn't know what you were going to do. But what happened?
It was very
Scary, I'm sure.
Scary. Yeah. Yes, very scary at the time, right? And
I remember talking to you and I just.
Yeah, we actually talked about whether I would come out there and become part of TWIT. Yeah. So it was scary. Wasn't sure what I was going to do. The divorce had left me pretty broke, and I was kind of in a pickle, right? And so John P., who had been a friend, he and his wife were friends with us, and we had known each other for a little while. And so we got together and started the partnership and started Geek Beat, and then kept going.
John basically had some money from his startup, I think, and so did he invest into this a little bit?
A little bit at the front, but it didn't need a lot.
That's the beauty
had a huge audience, right?
It's cheap.
And
yeah.
It was easy to kind of keep going forward, but I didn't have a lot of the structure. It was, you know, a promise of he had very a lot of business experience, and he was going to teach me how to become a businesswoman, even though I was doing the business before, but I had wanted to grow the business and I wanted to do more with it. And I didn't, my sole focus at that time was I want this to become more than just me in my bedroom, you know, doing this on a daily basis, because it can't rely solely on me. And so my goal had been to grow it to a point where I could take a vacation, maybe, because I had never had a vacation ever since I started.
You're kidding. You never got to stop because it was you.
It was all me. And there was no leeway for a break. So, and that was one of the mistakes that I made with the original contract. And that wasn't, I don't think anybody thought of early on. It was like, but I literally like wound up realizing, okay, I have to do the show like every, you know, three
it's
times
exhausting.
A week, I think it was, for
with
4 years.
No time off.
Yeah. So that was, that was a hindsight 2020 kind of moment. But it wasn't just about that. It was also about the structure behind it. I couldn't keep everything going from a behind the scenes standpoint. And I wanted it to be more.
That's great. How many years did you do Geek Beat?
Geek Beat was five.
5 years. So 4 years Geek Brief, 5 years. You're now 10 years into the business. And I don't know anything about what happened. So, and I don't know what you want to talk about. As you said, there is a great video, which everybody can watch at Geek's Life, that describes the transition. Are you and John still on good terms?
Unfortunately not, no.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
It was a bad business breakup, which is somewhat like a divorce, right?
Yep, very similar. Yeah, yeah.
But there were multiple things that happened there. I realized that as he taught me how to be a businesswoman, my instincts kept pushing against what I was being taught. And I didn't like the direction that I was ultimately heading.
What was it? Can you talk about that? If you don't want to talk about it, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
But what is going to be different about what you're doing now from what you were doing then? Maybe we could say it that way. Because you're now going to get to live your vision, right? What you want to do.
Right. So one thing is we wound up buying a building. He wound up buying a building because, you know, we couldn't really afford that from the business standpoint. So we went into this building and it was just more than we could chew. And it was the content, one, became very focused on high-end stuff or the building or all this cool stuff, and less less what people started watching for. And I've
you had built a massive studio, the Livid Lobster Studio, but kind of like this, spent a lot of money, I'm sure.
Right. And it just wasn't able to be sustained. And in order, and then at that time, I realized that his ultimate, you know, goal was to really sell.
Interesting.
Kind of sell the business.
Right.
And I didn't want that. I didn't want to put my team through that. I didn't want to put that myself through that. I realized that I didn't want that lifestyle. I want to be doing this for as long as I can see out and towards my future. And I didn't want to sell out to some corporation or to some bigger business that would basically make me an employee.
Not an unreasonable business disagreement. I mean, that's, you know, two different visions for where you want the company to go.
Correct.
I can understand
And the other side of that was that I realized that that the paperwork wasn't what I thought it was. And so there were disagreements there and in terms of ownership. And so basically I was, you know, kind of in the same situation that I was before.
Gosh darn it. That makes me mad.
I know.
Don't mess with my buddy. Lurious. Stop it. Knock it off.
Well, you know, I mean,
do you have a good lawyer now? Do you have a good business lawyer who is vetting all contracts?
Yes.
Okay.
And you know what is amazing is that I made very similar mistakes, both with relationship choices and with business decisions. They were different, but they had similar tones, right? And I have fully learned from that, and I can now see a lot of those age old tried and true kind of quotes, like, you know, read all the paperwork before you get to it, you know, be skeptical. Don't just accept things as they're told to you. Really dig in, regardless of if you think that you're dealing with a friend or not. And those, I've learned a lot just from a business and a personal perspective that people in business have to go through. Some like me learn it the hard way. But one most important thing that I've learned through all of that is that it doesn't really, like, brand changes don't really matter. People go through brand changes all the time, name changes. The reality is it is about you as a business and what you want. It doesn't really matter the name. And so for me, for Geek Brief, Geek Beat, Geeks Live, it's all about the community and it's all about the team. Dave Peterson and Dave Curley have been a part of the team since way before, Geek Beat and John, and they were fans of the show, of Geek Brief, early on, and they have been here since the beginning. And so, you know, it's really about the team, and it's really about the content that you produce and the community that you build up. And it doesn't really matter the name. That's what I've learned through all of this, is that you have to adjust and you have to swim and you have to avoid obstacles. But as long as you just keep going, that's how you get through life.
You're not going to let anybody else in the driver's seat ever again, I hope.
No.
You have to take over the wheel now.
And that's what I'm excited about. I think, you know, I've had, obviously, you can tell through the stories that I've told, I've had very controlling relationships over my entire the course of my entire life. And I have finally come out to who I am.
Yeah.
And
good.
I have finally let all that go. And it's an amazing what those types of things do to your morale, mm-hmm. or your belief in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
They really, really put you down. You don't think that you can do things on your own. And
Yeah, because they don't want you to be powerful.
Right.
They want you to shut up and let them direct.
Correct.
And this is something, it's not just women go through this, but anybody whose talent goes through this as well. Because, and I had the same situation happen to me, because if you're talent, then the people who run the show say, no, shut up. You do what you'd say the words we put in your mouth. And it ultimately, every human has to be empowered for themselves. So it's
exactly.
really, it's and great to see that happen to you. Hey, can we take one break? And then when we come back, I want to talk about, and I don't know if there is anything that happened that made you make this, get this deep understanding. Maybe it's just life and process, but I'd love to talk a little bit about that. And then we can't stop until we talk about Geek's Life and how it's going and what your vision is. And I'm curious because you have a little bit of a, I guess, a paywall, right? So I'm curious how that's going as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll talk about that.
Luria Petrucci. I'm proud to say my good friend Luria Petrucci is our guest. And the unbreakable, somebody's in the chat room, the unbreakable Luria Petrucci.
Dog nerd.
mole woman in our chat room. Yes. It's great to have you, and more to come in just a bit in our triangulation conversation. I want to talk to developers right now. A lot of developers want to include some sort of payment platform in their mobile app or their website. And there are lots of ways to do this, but I want to point you to the best one. And it's Braintree. BraintreePayments.com/triangulation. If you're a mobile app developer, this is the solution used by Uber, Airbnb, by Hotel Tonight, by Living Social, by Munchery. They were the ones that brought GitHub from 0 to 60 in payments. They're incredible. It is the payment API, so easy to use for you, seamless and magical. It just goes in with just a few lines of code and you're payment enabled. Braintree started with all these companies when they were small, brought them big. They can do the same for you, from processing your first dollar to your billionth dollar. Knock on wood. Braintree is a full stack payment solution, supports everything. PayPal, Bitcoin, Venmo, and of course Apple Pay. You want Apple Pay? This is it's completely platform agnostic. It's not an Apple Pay solution; it's an everything solution. But it's got superior fraud protection. Customer service is fantastic. The payouts are instantaneous. And if you need any more, go sign up, play with their sandbox, and listen. Your first $50,000 in transactions will be fee free. That is so great for somebody who has an idea, wants to start something up. This is the way to do it. BraintreePayments.com/triangulation. Your first $50,000 in transactions fee free. And by the time you get to $51,000, you're ready anyway. You're going. You're doing it. BraintreePayments.com/triangulation. If you play with the sandbox, you'll see it's really just a couple of lines of code. It could not be easier. I just love it. Bitcoin, no problem. Apple Pay, yeah, we do that. Venmo, of course. BraintreePayments.com/triangulation. Luria Petrucci is our guest, and I think in this hour I finally taught myself not to call you Callie.
Congratulations.
Took me a while. It's hard. You say 5 years, though. I don't think it's going to take 5 years for people to accept you as Luria.
No, and that's what shocked me is that it just kind of happened overnight as opposed to, and people are walking up to me at events and on the street and stuff. You're Luria. Hey, Luria.
Oh, you know? I'm so glad.
Like, that's so cool.
That must feel so good.
It does.
I really get the feeling you're feeling pretty good about your life right now.
I really do. It's amazing what trusting your instincts and what deciding to trust yourself does for you. Because you know, I think about where I want to be at the end of my life, and I don't, you know, if you can't look back on your life and think I did and made choices the way I thought I went down the path that I thought that was right for me, for the people around me, for, you know, life. And if you can't say that, then what have you lived? What have you done? If you live for everybody else, if you live because they are telling you to do this or that, it just, I don't know how I could live with myself at the end of my life, going down that route such all the time.
Such a great realization. Was there an event, a book, a person? Was there something that's made the shift happen, or was it just a gradual shift?
It was a series of different events over the course of my life, I assume. You know, it's marks here and markers there, you know, of things that happened. Certainly when my business was threatened to, you know, either to get shut down, to, you know, get sold to various things, when that was threatened, that was a turning point
that
for me.
That galvanizes you, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah. We all need a little kick in the butt.
Right. And beyond that, it was a, over the last year, it was like I kept trying to get there. I kept trying. And then when I found a real friend, a best friend in David Foster.
That's so great.
We met. Well, we had known each other for a while, and we were friendly from afar, but he moved to town. And it was like just such comfort. Like from the very beginning, we had already known each other, knew what our commonalities were. But it was amazing when I felt so darn comfortable being who I was and not judged for things I said, decisions I made. There was just zero judgment there, and I found a best friend, and somebody I could be completely myself with. And that was what really kind of turned the needle for me, was realizing that, hell, it's okay to be who I am.
Yay.
Because here I'm staring at somebody who accepts me fully. And then, you know, the love portion happened, then I realized I can't let this go. I knew that I liked him like that. I knew that I wanted him in my life forever. And so, you know, I wasn't going to let anything stop me from that point out, of not just love, but embracing what I knew my instincts were saying. And it's funny. I've always kind of kept journals and stuff, and I've looked back over the years, and it's amazing what you scream at yourself and then cover up. When you're not listening to your instincts and when you're not trusting your gut, the things that you say to yourself in private, in a journal, for instance, really tell all. Mm. But the things that I did was cover that back up. I would make excuses for why I wasn't following my instincts. And so I will never do that again. You know, it's been a real eye-opening year for sure.
Good. Well, and I think that you've said this, and it sounds a little corny and trite when I say the same thing, but it's really amazing when you have a community of people, more than fans, but people who really are in relationship with you in your work, and they're backing you and they support you and they move with you and you've got that. And mm-hmm. It's kind of nice. You're not alone, you know, and it's kind of a nice thing to have. And it's a very rare thing to have. And when you have that, and it seems like almost anything's possible. So is this what you always wanted to do? Is Geek's Life what you always wanted to do?
You know, it's an evolution of it. Geek's Life is all about embracing yourself. And so I wasn't ready to do that before. I mean, it's something I always kind of wanted to do. Like, for instance, my paddleboarding, since you brought that up earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love paddleboarding, but I didn't feel comfortable sharing that in an environment that Geek Beat was, where it was only about tech news.
Yeah, you never talked about paddleboarding. Gosh.
Right.
I missed
that.
And so
I might have Google Plus'd something or tweeted something here or there, but I didn't really get to geek out about it. Maybe. And that was becoming kind of a cage, you know, because I couldn't do everything that I wanted to share and say and be. And so Geek's Life is the opening up of just passions and sharing. And you know what's fun about it is that you can live your life. And I have all these, you know, the pasta that I make, and I make homemade marshmallows, and I do all sorts of fun stuff. And having a platform to share that, and not only share that, but also allow the community to share their stuff with us. And that's where it all is for me. Like back when we were doing Geek Brief, it was a, it was an experimentation. It was an evolution of just playing with things. And I kind of want to get back to that. The podcasting world and industry is going through some major changes right now with YouTube rules and, yes. you know, in terms of sponsorships and yep. audio versus video. Audio is crazy right now. And there are all sorts of changes as the medium moves along, in its life cycle. And I want to get back to experimentation with that stuff as well. It's a Geeks Corner is something that we're launching soon where we're going to allow people to bring their videos, their passions, their writings into Geek's Life so that we can all share in amazing stories. Like, for instance, we have Cake Geek in the community who he makes like superhero cakes, like Neat. Cupcakes, Captain America, and all these cool little things. And we have somebody who makes space suits, like very, very close replica, you know, NASA suits and stuff. And I want to hear about that stuff. I don't want to just focus on the stuff that I know. I want to learn as well. And so that's where kind of we're going. And so, yeah, that's to answer your question. I know I'm kind of taking a long way around here. is it something that I've always wanted? The reason that I do what I do is not just because it was a successful experiment back in 2005. I love people and I love hearing people's stories. That's what drives me. I learn a lot from watching people and hearing what they've done. And so getting to focus on that as well is huge for me.
That's neat. Are you still shy?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. again, throw me into a party and I'm going to find the corner.
It's great.
I have to kind of make myself get out there.
Geekslife.com. And Callie, Luria, you've been so honest in this hour, and I'm so grateful to you. But honesty is something you do, and I think you do really well. And it's very direct. It's very personal. And you may be shy, but when you there's 7 shows now. There's a live show every Friday afternoon, 3 p.m. Central. And I think that's mm-hmm. what shines through. You've got a wonderful community, but also it's the honesty and the kind of the authenticity, the genuineness of Luria Petrucci that makes it. And I hope we haven't gone too far and been too personal in this interview. But I think it's really interesting to hear your story. And I think a lot of people might be inspired by it. There are a lot of people who are not getting to do what they want. And I think your story is a real inspiration.
Well, thank you. And part of getting to share with people and our story, and I say our as a team because we all have a lot of experience behind the scenes. We are going to be sharing all of that in Academy of Geeks, which we're launching tutorials. It'll be teaching courses on how to do all of this stuff and lessons learned and how to do video production, how to do audio, how to do everything that we've done over the course of the years. So I'm excited about that, to be able to kind of help inspire other people to do what they love to do.
You have 2 Twitter accounts. What do you want people to follow? Both Callie Lewis and Luria Petrucci? Or how do you want to do that?
Luria Petrucci, I'm figuring out. I need to go in and like revamp Callie Lewis because it's sitting there just without anything, I think.
Luria, I'm so proud of you. You've done so well. And the offer still stands. Anytime you want to come up here. In fact, you know what? I think we should be great on the new screensavers. We'll figure out a time when you can come up and spend some time in Petaluma.
That would be great.
Do you get a vacation yet? No. You still don't, do
not
you?
That Not that I'm rebranding, but soon. And you know, the great thing about this new model is the structure that we're putting into place will certainly help that. And one of the things that we're really focused on, I mentioned the experimentation. I know you're trying to, we've been going for a long time.
No. I got as much time as you have.
We launched a pay what you can model. So we have a lot of, we have the Academy of Geeks, which we're going to be training people on how to do what we do. And we also have the behind the scenes footage, the live show on Fridays. We have a lot of bonus content, which you can access all of that for whatever your wallet can afford. You know, when I was getting started, I was on the ramen diet, we called it, because we couldn't afford anything and we were spending all our extra cash trying to buy equipment to raise our standards. And I never would have been able to pay for somebody to teach me how to do it. And so we are very conscious of that, and we want to be able to open up the community to everyone, regardless of where they are in their life, and where they're, how big or small their wallet is. So at $3 a month or up, we allow everybody to take part in all that extra content.
That's nice.
So that's one of the new experimentations. You mentioned Patreon. And I think now the world is at a place, and this market is in a place where people are willing to pay for what they get. Patreon kind of opened up people's eyes to pay the creators for what they're working hard to deliver and for what you're enjoying every day. And so that's a really exciting thing. The pay what you can model is working really well. People are doing that and excited by it. And people, you know, what's beautiful about that is the people who can pay more are paying more.
They do, don't
and
they? Yeah.
They do, because they enjoy and they want you to live on and right. They want to support you. So that's pretty cool.
All right, I'll make you a deal. If you come up here, you do the screensavers with us, we'll do a paddleboard segment on the Petaluma River.
That sounds good.
Oh, God,
I will agree to that.
What have I done? Oh my God.
Somebody record this.
I hope they have been. Luria Petrucci, it has been a marvelous time, as always, with you. I just love talking to you. Everybody must go right now to geekslife.com. Sign up. Pay if you can. Participate. It's a great site with lots of great content and more coming all the time. Geekslife.com. Luria Petrucci, you are an inspiration. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Leo. And I appreciate all the time and effort you gave me early on in 2006 to teach me all that you know, and that I have grown as a host because of that way back then.
You're the best. Thank you, Larry. All right. We do Triangulation every Monday, 11 a.m. Pacific. See, you don't want to miss one. If you miss one, you miss great stuff. So make sure you tune in 11 a.m. Pacific. That's 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC. And watch live. But if you can't, it's okay. I understand. People have lives. That's like the work day for a lot of us. You can always get on-demand copies of all of our shows, twit.tv. In this case, it's all at twit.tv/TRI. So somebody in the chat room this morning saying, yeah, they have some old triangulations on archive.org. You don't need to go anywhere else. We have every episode from episode zero on up for every show at twit.tv and twit.tv/TRI. We do put it on YouTube, as long as they let us. YouTube.com/triangulation. And of course, you can always subscribe in your favorite podcatcher on your mobile device. There's Twit apps for every platform, including Roku. And I know if you watch on TiVo that they recently killed the season pass for podcasts. We're talking to them. We're going to work something out on that because we do want you to be able to even use your TiVo to subscribe. But the most important thing is that you watch every week because it's always something interesting. Thanks for joining us, Luria. Thank you for joining us, folks. We'll see you next time. Triangulation.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.